Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors.
There's a story about an Indianapolis pastor named Russ Blowers, who was a member of the local Rotary Club. At the club meeting each and every week, they would take turns telling a little bit about what they did. So this was, Russ was a pastor there in Indianapolis. And so when it was Russ's turn, he said this: "I'm with a global enterprise. We have branches in every country of the world. We have our representatives in nearly every parliament and boardroom on earth. We're into motivation and behavioral alteration. We run hospitals, feeding stations, crisis pregnancy centers, universities, publishing houses, and nursing homes. We care for our clients from birth to death. We are into life insurance and fire insurance. We perform spiritual heart transplants. Our original organizer owns all of the real estate on Earth, plus an assortment of galaxies and constellations. He knows everything and lives everywhere. Our product is free for the asking, although there's not enough money to buy it. Our CEO was born in a hick town, worked as a carpenter, didn't own a home, was misunderstood by his family, hated by his enemies, walked on water, was condemned to death without a fair trial, and arose from the dead. And I talk to him every single day." And while admittedly that's kind of a cheesy little story, I really like that story, because what it points out is that as Christ followers, we are part of the most important organization in the world. And it's the most important organization that the world will ever see, the Church of the Living God. And we're starting this brand new series today in the book of Acts. And so we're going to be going through the book of Acts for the next few weeks. And so I get to kick this off today. And the book of Acts essentially, though, tells us about the birth of God's church, the first church. And you might ask yourself, first church, I know kind of in our context today, church is just one of those things, it's like we go to on Sunday mornings. Is this something that's kind of always been around? We don't really think about, like, did the church actually have a beginning, a starting place? Because the church hasn't always been around. The church as we know it didn't always exist. The church had a birthplace, it had a starting point, and that is found in the book of Acts. It's important to point out that when I say the church, I'm also not talking about a physical building or a place to meet. Many people, myself included, a lot of times will think about the church as a building, like a physical structure that we meet to sing in and we hear from God's word and we do all those kind of things. But I want to impress upon you that the church is much more than a building. The church is people. The church is you and I. The church is us as human beings. We are the church. If we call ourselves Christ followers, we are the church. In fact, the church, when it first started, didn't actually have a physical location. It didn't have a physical location. A group of Christ followers, they gathered together. They worshiped with each other. They talked about Jesus' teachings. They ate together. They did life together, and so on and so on. The church in the book of Acts, while there are similarities to what we have today, looked very different from church today. And I would like to argue that actually when the church entered the building, that's when the root of one of the major causes of division happened within the church. When the church actually entered the building, when it became about you have to come to us instead of us going to you. That's a big deal. And we'll see that in the book of Acts. We'll see that as the church explodes and just goes, and how fast the message of Jesus grows throughout the book of Acts. So before we dive into what the first church, though, looked like and acted like, I want to give you some context to bring you up to speed as what's happened before the book of Acts. So, you know, the book of Acts is right before that is the Gospels. There's four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that basically tells the story of Jesus. It tells Jesus' birth, his early life, his life on earth as in doing his ministry in his 30s, and then, of course, his death and his resurrection. So at this point, when we get to Acts, Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament, and Jesus has died and resurrected. And when he rose from the dead, he made himself known again to his disciples and his followers. And here's the thing. We often forget that we think maybe when Jesus died and then he resurrected, that was kind of the end of his earthly ministry, but it wasn't. It was actually, it didn't stop there at all. After the resurrection, Jesus taught his disciples about God's kingdom for about 40 days, and then he was taken up into heaven. So Jesus in human form is now gone, but what he's done is he's left the continuation of his work up to his disciples, his apostles, his followers. And so in the book of Acts, there are three great themes that you will find that flow through the entire book of Acts, and especially the first three chapters that we're going to cover this morning. Those themes are represented well. But again, the whole way through the book of Acts, you'll see these themes. You'll find them all the way through. So the first theme that I want to point out is this, that Jesus wants us to see the importance of his work. Jesus wants us to see the importance of his work. The book of Acts was written by a man named Luke, and subsequently he wrote the Gospel of Luke too. Remember I said Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts. Luke and Acts actually could go back to back if you want them to. They would read just like a very thorough story of Jesus' life and then after Jesus' life. Luke was a physician, so he takes his approach to detailing the accounts of Jesus and his followers. They're very systematic. It's very structured and organized, which is really, if you think about it, what you want from a physician, right? You don't want a physician that's kind of loosey-goosey and whatever. It's like, oh, where'd I put that thing? No, you want somebody who's structured and organized and knows what they're doing. And so Luke is also writing this book to a friend named Theophilus. We don't know much about Theophilus. Actually, don't hardly know anything at all. But he's writing this as an account of Jesus' life and then after Jesus' life on earth. So Luke begins the book of Acts by stressing the Lord's work, right? The importance of his work. So read along with me if you have your Bibles or if you're on your phones. For those of you following along at home, if you want to open up to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we'll be looking at the NLT version. That's the version I'll be reading through. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven and given his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of God. See, in those verses, Luke is really putting the emphasis on the Lord's work. And one of the really great things to notice about the Lord's work is found in verse 1, and that is his work continues. His work continues. Notice that Luke mentioned the things that Jesus began to do, the things that Jesus started to do. See, the word began signals that Jesus' ascension doesn't mean it's the end, but actually the continuation of his work as Lord and Messiah, and just in the lives and the proclamation of his followers now. And that phrase is a great reminder because it reminds us that God is not finished yet. God's not finished yet. Jesus certainly is at work in our world today. And we can trust that he is at work in your life and in my life as well, even though I know at times it can be definitely hard to see, especially in the times we're living in now. Sometimes it feels like, God, where are you? What's going on right now? Like, are you really moving still? Are you really doing things? And we have to trust that he is indeed still alive and at work. And that his work continues, and it's colossal, right? Jesus Christ is not doing puny little things in our universe. No, he's doing God-sized things. And Luke reminds us of this truth in verse 3, where he said, again, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive, and he talked to them about the kingdom of heaven. You see, Jesus showed his followers that he wasn't actually dead, but alive, just like he said he was going to do. And in order to prove this to his followers, he did things like eating and drinking with them, simple things like eating and drinking with them. He also walked and talked with them in a free and familiar manner, just like he had prior to his death and resurrection. He showed them his hands and his feet. He showed them his side so that they might see the scars from the nails and the scar from the spear that had pierced his side. This is the way that Jesus proved that he wasn't a ghost or a spirit, but he was really alive in the same body that had suffered on the cross. And here's something that's important to remember. Jesus certainly died on the cross, but Jesus most certainly also rose from the dead, and he is alive forevermore. That is God-sized work. That is big-time God-sized work. And God is still at work in our world today. He's healing sick people. He's helping hurting people. He's saving souls. He's transforming lives. He's meeting all of our needs. Jesus needed for his disciples to see the importance of his work, and Jesus wants us to see the importance of his work so that we can carry on that same work for him. When we become Christ followers, we literally become the hands and the feet of Jesus. A few weekends ago, there was about 17 or 18 folks from Pacific Life Church that participated in a graffiti cleanup day. And it was so cool. It was sponsored by the Pacific Beach Town Council. We actually, as a church, got to sponsor it. And there was another church and another organization that sponsored this fun event. And all in all, there were 90 graffiti busters. That's what they called us. We were graffiti busters. And we headed out all over PB to clean up graffiti and stickers and trash and just pick that stuff up and get rid of it. And it was really fun to walk around PB, and they had a great system. They had maps and all the stuff, and you just had to, like, go to the spot, and then it told you what kind of graffiti it was or if it was, like, marker or if it was a sticker. And they had these different sprays you could spray on there or to take the stuff off. It was really cool. They did a really good job of organizing it. But it was fun to walk around again and just find all those things and see those things and, like, kind of be open to those. Like, oh, man, you see graffiti, but then it's like when you're really looking for graffiti, you really find a lot of it. There's quite a bit around PB. But the little group that I was with and a part of, as we went around, one of the common questions that we were asked as we ran into people that were just, you know, walking their dogs or in the neighborhood is like, what are you guys doing? And it was really fun to tell people that we were part of this graffiti cleanup event that was happening that day. And it was sponsored by, you know, our church and Pacific Beach Town Council and all this stuff. And it was really neat because as each person that asked us what we were up to, they also thanked us. They were super appreciative of just taking care of the neighborhood. I remember one lady in particular, she's like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm the only one that ever cleans up trash around here. This is so great. And she was just on and on and on about how neat it was to just see us out there. And so, you know, it was cool because for a couple hours on a Saturday morning, people all over PB could see those 90 plus volunteers serving their community and cleaning up our little town, right? And while not all those folks that volunteered were Christ followers, what we were doing as we cared for our community certainly falls in lines with understanding the importance of Jesus' work and being his representative, right, out there by our actions. So again, the importance of understanding Jesus' work is the first theme. And then the second one, Jesus wants us to see the importance of his words. Jesus wants us to see the importance of his words. Jesus certainly had a lot to do, but he also had a lot to say. Jesus had a lot to say. He had a lot that he wanted to make sure that his disciples understood so that they could continue the work that he had started. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus drops what's called the Great Commission. Maybe you've heard that if you've been around church for a little while. It's this basically this empowering of his disciples, his apostles, to go out and share the good news of Jesus. So Acts 1:8 reads like this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." See, Jesus understood that if his disciples didn't understand his words, it was going to be impossible for them to carry out his message after he was gone. So Jesus spoke to his disciples as one of having authority because he wanted them to know and understand and believe that they had the same authority as he did. And as Christ followers, we have that same authority as well if we have Jesus living in our lives. See, Jesus' teachings are marvelous. They are saturated with Scripture. They're powerful. They're understandable. They're practical. They're loving. They're true. They're convicting. And the way that he delivered his message with compassion and courage, with a total grasp of all factors of space and time and eternity, This is the way he wanted his disciples to share his message, and this is the way that he wants us to share his message today. And here's the thing. The Great Commission isn't possible by human standards. The Great Commission is too great a task for any one human or any even group of humans to accomplish on our own. So Jesus knew this. God certainly knows this. So then what was the solution? Well, fast forward with me into Acts chapter 2, and we're going to find the solution right here. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. On the day of Pentecost, Pentecost was the festival that came 50 days after the Passover when Jesus was crucified. All believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia." That's a tough one to pronounce. It starts with a P and it's an H and there's pamphlet, and then we'll skip to Egypt because I can get that one, no problem. I practiced this earlier. I said it earlier, but now I'm having my tongue tied. Areas around Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts of Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But this is great. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." All right? So Peter then, whose name means the rock, steps up and takes his first step into the leadership role that Jesus completely saw him fulfilling all along. And he addresses the crowd in what's called Peter's Pentecost sermon. So Peter explains that, no, actually, these people are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. That would have been an early, early start. So they're not drunk. And then he goes on to explain what is happening and why it's happening. Acts 2, 32 through 33. "God raised Jesus from the dead, and we were all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today." See, the great promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit surely came to pass. And Jesus wants us to see the importance of his words and how when we use those same words, the same words that Jesus used, the walls are broken down, healings happen, miracles occur. Anything that we do in the name of Jesus, gosh, it's big time. We understand the importance of Jesus' words and how important those words are when we share them with others. And when we do that, we get to the third theme, and that's this. We see the importance of his witness. The importance of his witness. Again, going back to Acts 1:8, where Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." And then we just read that account from Peter, and as he gets up in front of the crowd, and he's being a witness. See, God calls us to be his faithful witnesses. All Christ followers are called to share the good news about Jesus. Again, what Jesus just said in Acts 1:8 was not just for the apostles, and we know this because obviously they haven't been around for some 2,000 years. This is a message for us too. This is a message that transcends time. And then what Peter just testified about in Acts chapter 2 was for everyone who knows and follows the Lord. You see, it is our calling. It is our responsibility as Christ followers to share the good news of Jesus. And it starts in our Jerusalem. It starts in our hometown with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, the people right here and around Pacific Life Church. Rick Warren, the pastor of Saddleback Church up in Orange County, said this. Notice Jesus didn't say, "You will be my defense attorney." Jesus didn't say, "You'll be my prosecutor." Jesus didn't say, "You'll be my salesman." See, we don't have to defend God. We don't have to be a salesman for God. All God wants us to do is be a witness. So then that brings up the question, what is a witness? What's a witness? Well, a witness is someone who tells what they've seen. They just tell what they've seen. I saw this, then I saw this, and then this is what happened, right? A witness tells what happened to them. And here's the thing. Most of us are probably pretty good at being a witness in other areas of our lives. So then why is it so difficult for us sometimes to be a witness for Christ's work in our lives, right? I can remember one time I went down to the beach looking at the waves because there was this storm coming in and the surf was huge. And I had just gotten out of the water down at PB Point and I was making my way down the beach. I just was kind of stopping and looking at the different waves and the different breaks or whatever and just watching the huge surf. It was super fun. As I got to Feldspar Street, kind of near the pier there, I was watching these waves and they were basically scraping off the bottom of the pier. They were just so big and so powerful. It was really fun to watch. And there was, of course, nobody surfing out there at that point because it's just the waves are too big and they weren't really holding up at all. And then there happened to be this news reporter who was covering the incoming storm. And so he asked me if I surfed and I told him yes. And then he asked if he could interview me for a minute. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And so he asked me a few questions. And then at one point he asked, like, why is nobody surfing here? And I got to explain to him that where the pier is located, the pier is kind of on like sand, and sand doesn't hold waves as well. It'll hold up to a certain height, but then once it gets to a certain height and a lot of power, the waves just won't hold. They'll just dump on top of each other, one wave after another. And it doesn't hold as well as, like, say, something under the water, like a structure, like rocks or reef. And I pointed up to PB Point, and I explained that the point has rocks and reefs up there that hold the waves better. And in fact, depending on the swell direction and how big the surf is and how much power there is behind it and all the things, you know, there's certain reefs out there that won't break until it gets to a certain height and all these things. And then I realized that his eyes started kind of glazing over and I was answering his question well beyond what he had asked me, right? And so I stopped talking and I'm like, sorry about that. And he goes, wow, you certainly know a lot about the ocean. And I had studied the ocean. I understood, like, those things about it, so I was excited to share that about it. And then as I'm thinking about that interaction with that reporter, I've often wondered if I could give the same witness to someone who asked me about being a Christ follower or about being a pastor or working at a church or going to a church. And if I can't, that says a lot about how much I care about my relationship with Jesus. Right, if I'm not as passionate as I was with that reporter to tell other people about Jesus, as passionate as I was about that surf, you know, if I'm not that passionate about Jesus, well, then there's something wrong with my spiritual walk, and I need to get that straight. That says something about how much I care about my relationship with Jesus. You see, we can be a witness. We can be an excellent witness about the things that we care about in our lives. You are an expert on your life. Nobody can be a better witness about your life than you. Nobody can be a better witness about what God has done in your life than you. So when God says, I just want you to tell other people what's happened to you, I want you to tell other people what's happened in your life, and I want you to start with the people closest to you, that's what we're supposed to do. That is what we are supposed to do. And there's a great example of this in Luke chapter 8 when Jesus healed a man who was possessed by demons. See, Jesus had healed him and kicked the demons out of him, and this man really wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus sent him back to be a witness in his hometown. It's found in Luke 8, 38 through 39. Follow along with me. It says, the man who had been freed from the demons begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him home saying, no, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you. So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things that Jesus had done for him. You see, that man did exactly what the Lord wants us to do, to be his witness. And then we can see what happens when we are God's witness found. And we're going to jump back into Acts chapter 2, the end of Acts chapter 2. This is 38 through 41. This is right after Peter just got done giving his speech. Peter then continues to tell a little bit more about what Jesus had done and the Holy Spirit. And he says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the name of our Lord God, or the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Could you imagine if that happened here in PB? or even just in San Diego. One day, 3,000 people. What if next week at our baptism, all of a sudden we're out there and there's a few of us in the water and there's people getting baptized, then 3,000 people show up and they want to be baptized? Let me just tell you, you all are going to get in the water with us because we're going to need help, right? Like, that's one of those things where it's like, can you imagine that scene? That's an amazing, amazing thing. But what if our city was transformed for Jesus? What if our city was transformed by Jesus and the power of Jesus' message? Because today, if you think about it, we can literally go any place on this earth, right? We can physically travel to any place on this earth. And if you're called to go overseas to different countries, to go outside the borders of our country, then go. That is so, so important. Pacific Life Church, we support missionaries around the world because we believe that it's so important to go. In just a few weeks, we're going to do our Give Clean Water event again. And this is going to be an opportunity for some people that can go to these little remote places all over our world and provide clean water. And it's our support. We're not all able to go to those places. Some of it would actually be physically impossible for us to go to those places. But there are people that can. And so we can support them and we can get excited about supporting them and giving clean water to an entire country like we did last year. So, so important to go. But it's also just as important for those of us who can't go or maybe aren't called to go to be a witness right here in our walks, our daily walks, our local lives. Because again, we can't all go, but we can all certainly get involved. And we should get involved because everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. Everyone needs to understand how much Jesus loves them. Because of Jesus' example and because of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, we now have the opportunity to live boldly, confidently, and strategically as proclaimers of the good news of Jesus Christ. And you'll continue to see as we study through the book of Acts, when Christ followers take the mission of Jesus seriously, watch out. Watch out. It's not just a movement, it's a revolution. And this revolution that started some 2,000 years ago continues to transform humanity through the church, through you and I. We are the church when we have the courage and the boldness and the kindness and the compassion that Jesus had. This is why for those of us who call ourselves Christ followers, it is so important to share the good news of Jesus with everyone that we come in contact with. And with the power of the Holy Spirit alive and working within us, we have the courage needed to share the good news unto the ends of the earth. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you just for allowing us to be here in this place. God, we thank you for the powerful work of your death and resurrection. And God, the revolution that started when your son Jesus came to this earth, told people about how much you love them, and then continued on through your church. God, may we, Pacific Life Church, may we be a church that follows you first and foremost. God, may we never get into places where pride sneaks in or we think we've got it figured out better than you've got it figured out. God, may we be a church that goes and that shares and is a witness because we understand the importance of their work. We understand the importance of your words. And we want to share that with everybody that we come in contact with. And Heavenly Father, as we take communion now together, we remember the amazing sacrifice that your son Jesus Christ made when he died on the cross. But we also know that's not where it ended. He rose again and conquered death. Thank you for that amazing gift.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.